Good morning, everyone. Thank you for the introduction, Sean. Jasmine is from Bangkok. She's completed 2 years of a business and hospitality course and is doing 1 year at university in Brisbane before she returns to complete her degree. She loves Brisbane, especially the nightlife, and lives with a girlfriend in a tiny one-bedroom flat in the city. Martin and Catherine moved to the Sunshine Coast 8 years ago. 3 years ago, Martin took a new job and commuted to Brisbane every day. Then their last teenager finally left home, and Martin and Catherine decided to buy a refurbished unit close to the river at Tenerife. Catherine gave up her part-time job and got a better paying job in the city. Now they come down to Brisbane every Sunday night, stay for the working week, and return to the coast on Friday night. Martin is still an active member of his local surf club. Daniel is an engineering graduate from Spain. He is in Australia to improve his English and pays his way by washing dishes at the Lord Mayor's functions at City Hall. He has taken a few trips to the coast to check out Australia's beaches, loves Australian girls, and lives with 4 other friends in a share house in Milton. Caitlin graduated from UQ 3 years ago. She worked for a couple of years and then travelled overseas, including a 6-month stint in London. She's now come back to Brisbane, got herself a new job, and is living in a brand new apartment in the valley. She's been amazed at how much building is going on in Brisbane, loves all the funky new shops and cool restaurants. Caitlin is currently looking for a flatmate to help share the costs. Anna keeps busy with her volunteer work at the Salvation Army shop, her regular bowls game, and her friends. She's lived in Kelvin Grove with her late husband Frank for 35 years, but after he passed away, Anna decided to move into the Gardens retirement home, partly for company, but also because the house was getting too much to look after. Anna is grateful that she was able to get a place in a local facility near to her friends and all the shops and services she knows well. She thinks the new village is fantastic and that it has brought fresh life to this part of the city. And Bob. Bob sits in the same place every morning. He brings an old plastic milk carton to sit on as the cement gets very cold and it's getting harder and harder to get up and down these days. Bob plays a few tunes on an old recorder and hopes that the passing office workers will throw him some coins. If he's lucky, he'll get enough money to buy a cup of coffee before he goes to the shelter for his shower and lunch. Bob's also on the lookout for a good blanket as the nights are beginning to get cooler and the bus shelter where he's been sleeping has a broken window that lets in the cold wind. These are just some of the stories of the people who make up Brisbane. I'm going to talk to you today about Brisbane's people, one of our greatest assets. In the presentation, I'm going to focus on inner Brisbane, as this material I'm talking about today is extracted from a much more detailed report on inner Brisbane that we'll be releasing just as soon as our minister, whoever that might be, gets through their pile of paperwork. Today I'm going to focus on how inner Brisbane has reinvented itself over the past 20 years, how population decline has turned to growth, and what demographic changes have shaped the new inner Brisbane population. I'll finish up with some brief comments on future prospects and issues and opportunities for inner Brisbane. Before I go on, though, I'd just like to acknowledge some of my colleagues from the Planning Information and Forecasting Unit who are here, and in particular, Rhys Paxton, who's been the primary contributor to the report that I'm discussing today. So, the population of inner Brisbane is currently just over 90,000 people. You can see from this graph that back in 1986, the population was only just over 60,000. And indeed, between 1986 and 1991, there was a slight population decline. More people moved out. of the inner city. Between 91 and 96, that decline was recovered, and there was actually small growth between 96 and 01. But really, most of the activity has happened in the 5 years to 2006, and that activity has been substantial. There was population growth, as you can see there on the chart, of more than 20,000 people in that 1 5-year period alone. So if you thought things had been hopping in inner Brisbane in the past 5 years, you probably were right. What area am I talking about here? This is the study area that we've used for most of the report. You can see there in the blue, there's an area that we've called the Brisbane CBD, ranging from Fortitude Valley and Spring Hill right through to the city precincts. And then we had four other areas, an inner northeast area, an inner northwest, and then the two areas on the south side of the river, which we looked at for this report. In terms of the population growth that I just mentioned, if we look at it in relation to those five areas I just showed you on the map, you can clearly see here that most of the growth that occurred in 2001 to 2006 or 7, as shown on this chart, actually happened here in the CBD. In fact, the CBD population doubled in that 5 or 6 year period, from 10,000 to more than 20,000. You can also see that the population is fairly evenly distributed amongst those sub-areas, but the other area to experience most growth in that period was the area of inner northeast. So what has the population trends been over this time? As I've shown you, the population has actually boomed. Most of the growth in the CBD area. Within the CBD area, most of the growth has happened in Fortitude Valley, which actually doubled its population in the 5 years to 2001 and then increased by a further 80%. So you can see there's been massive change occurring in that area. The inner northeast, which was the other high growth area, most of the activity was at Newstead, or Newstead actually accounted for half of that whole region's growth, and its growth was also substantial. Now, what's common about these areas that are growing strongly in terms of the population? Significantly, I think both of the areas mentioned benefited from the Brisbane City Council's very successful urban renewal program. And there's no prizes for guessing the links there. But also significantly, most of the growth, or the strongest levels of growth, have occurred in areas closer to the city centre. So people are still really looking to get as close to the centre of the city as they possibly can afford. Most of the population growth has been among young people. Young people right up to the age of 70. We're all young until then, aren't we? You can see here in this age sex profile, with males on the left and females on the right, that most of the increase happened in that 2001 to 2006 period. So that's basically everything in this shown by this red line. The difference between 2001 to 2006 is shown in that part there. So you can see that the growth has really been dominated by young people, in particular in their 20s, but it's been across all of the age groups right up to 70. Over 70, there's been relatively little change, but of course, as a share of the total population, older people are declining in the inner city because there's so much growth in the younger people. I think it's also interesting to look at what's happening with children under 15, and you can see that there's been relatively little growth, but nonetheless a little bit of growth occurring amongst those age groups. So we are seeing some kids in the inner city. This is something that we need to look for more of in the future as the population continues to grow. Associated with this big growth in young people is large growth in 1 and 2 person households. So let's look at this chart for a moment. What you can see here is that lone person households are actually the most common type of household in the inner city. And you can see that they've had some substantial growth since 1996. The other large growing households are the couples without children, and this other category across here called other households, which in ABS terms means visitor-only households or households that they couldn't actually get to, so they couldn't classify them. So what you can see here is that a lot of the growth is related to the age of the people moving in and that they are living in one- and two-person households. There are also growing numbers of overseas-born. This is quite a significant characteristic of new inner Brisbane residents. Overseas-born represent nearly half of all of inner Brisbane's residents, up from about 38% a decade earlier. Significantly, overseas-born residents grew almost twice as fast as the Australian-born, well, more than twice as fast as the Australian-born population, and increased in the inner Brisbane area by 20,000 people compared to less than 12,000 for the Australian-born. So a lot of people don't actually realise how significant this change has been, but you only have to walk around the streets and listen. You can hear a whole range of different languages these days than we have before. Despite this mix that we're hearing on the streets around us, most of the overseas-born migrants are actually from the UK or New Zealand. Until 2006, the traditional European source countries for migration to Australia dominated the next level down, but in 2006, South Korea and China were actually the next largest source countries for people in inner Brisbane. So this is really changing the character of our inner city. Other characteristics of inner Brisbane residents that are worth mentioning include we have lots of students. In fact, 2 out of every 5 people in inner Brisbane were students, and half of those were at university. Inner Brisbane residents have a higher proportion of people with tertiary qualifications, mostly bachelor degrees and upwards. This has meant that about 1 in every 3 people list themselves as a professional, as their occupation. Twice as high a proportion of workers in the inner Brisbane area were in the professional, scientific and technical services industries, as in Brisbane Statistical Division. What this meant, though, was that industries such as manufacturing, construction and retail were underrepresented in residents of inner Brisbane. I think there's also 3 characteristics associated with the built form that are worth mentioning. One is the massive increase in higher density dwellings that we've seen over the past decade. So you've got dwellings such as units and apartments increasing from 45% of the dwelling stock 10 years ago to nearly 2/3 of the dwelling stock in 2006. I've already talked about the number of households that are 1- and 2-person households, but 76%, 3/4, 3 out of every 4 households in the inner Brisbane area are actually 1- or 2-person households. Substantially higher than the rest of the Brisbane metropolitan area. Also, 50% of dwellings in inner Brisbane are being rented. Rental is actually the most dominant tenure type of inner Brisbane. It's actually come down a little bit since 2001, but it still remains the dominant dwelling type. It is 50% of all dwellings are being rented, which is substantially above the 30% in the rest of the Brisbane metro area. Now, turning to the future. Current planning policy, as evidenced by the SEQ regional plan from 1994 and the current draft plan that's on exhibition, certainly suggests that strong growth in the inner part of Brisbane City will continue. we're seeing everywhere across the planning profession increasing emphasis on more compact and higher density living. At the moment, the jobs are clustering in the inner city, particularly in the CBD. But if you remember that map that I showed, there is a really good distribution of jobs around the inner northeast and the other areas. So it's not all in the CBD, but nonetheless, in terms of distribution of jobs across SEQ, they are clustering in the inner Brisbane area. Inner Brisbane also supports a range of other attractors that bring people to the inner city, such as the hospitals and the universities. We have to recognise that living in the inner city has become a lifestyle choice, particularly for younger people. And you can see that by that age sex profile I showed earlier and how attractive Inner Brisbane is to young people. The availability of certain dwelling types in Inner Brisbane also attracts certain types of people. If you want to live in medium and high density dwellings in a highly accessible location close to where all the action's happening, then you can't really go past Inner Brisbane. I just want to make a comment too about the centres policy that's in the SEQ regional plan. The centres policy obviously will support growth outside the city centre, but there's little evidence that that's having any impact at all just yet. Anything more than a modest impact is probably a more polite way of saying it. So we've done some population projections. These projections are just being finalised now. There was an awful lot of work went on between ourselves and the Brisbane City Council offices to make sure these projections reflected accurately the planning scheme's intent for development in the inner city. So we're projecting growth in the current decade that we're in, so 2006 to 16, of, as you can see there, about 25,000 people, or increasing the inner city population by a quarter. Most of the growth is projected to occur in the CBD area, which is anticipated to have an increase of about a third on its current population. And nearly half of the growth in the CBD area is expected to occur in Fortitude Valley, which, with an increase of 3,000 people over the decade, is expected to increase its population by more than half. Bowen Hills, courtesy of ULDA land, and West End are also areas in the inner Brisbane region that are expected to grow strongly. Dutton Park, Newstead and Woolloongabba all have very high percentage increases. So the population in those areas are all expected to increase by 50% or more. As you can imagine, this is going to cause some significant change to occur in these areas, and it's going to be very interesting to watch that unfold over the coming years. Now I want to finish up my session with a couple of slides on issues and opportunities. First of all, two key issues I think relate to how Brisbane is positioned in a global context, and then secondly, how inner Brisbane in particular is positioned within the broader SEQ region. So in terms of the global positioning of Brisbane, we've heard this morning about competition amongst cities, and there's no question that Brisbane will be competing with a number of other global cities. But I just pose the question, what will Brisbane's function in that global hierarchy be? What will we be saying that we can do better than anyone else? What is it that people are going to want to come to Brisbane for? Importantly, I like to pose the question that will we negatively impact on our quality of life in order to compete in this global marketplace? I know people continue to come to Brisbane because of the quality of life, but we can't take our eye off that ball in this competition in the global context. I've pleased to hear some of the comments from Christopher before morning tea that reflect the importance of quality of life for the current and future residents of our city. In terms of Inner Brisbane's place in the region, I was asked some questions in relation to jobs, access, services and living here. Will the jobs that are available in the inner city be the better jobs? Will they be the jobs that you have to have the higher level qualifications for and then associated higher levels of income? So if you want a high paying professional job, will you have to still come to Inner Brisbane? Access. We've already heard about transport and all roads leading to Rome. Will all of our transport infrastructure continue to point to the CBD, or can we really make it easier for people to travel to other locations in the city? Services. Will the higher order services continue to cluster in the CBD and the Inner Brisbane area? It makes sense in some ways, but if people still have to come into the inner city to access a specialist, that's going to place an extra load on all of the services. And I asked a question about living in the inner city. Will only the highly paid people be able to afford to live in the inner city? Finally, some opportunities, and again, I welcome the comments before morning tea about the opportunities and the need to grasp those and really run with them. We've seen that demographic and social change has led to an influx of new residents in the inner city, but I wonder if people have realised how different these new residents are to the people who used to live in the inner city. These residents will make different choices if they have the chance. And I think we can see that by some of the slides that Peter Newman showed earlier about some of the demonstration projects worldwide. Inner Brisbane, I think we have to recognise, has been through a lot already, and I hope you enjoyed some of the historical photos that I showed earlier in the presentation. It makes us realise, when you reflect and you look back on how Inner Brisbane has actually changed over its history, that there is something there, there is some resilience there. We've seen a reinvention of the inner city several times already, but we have seen one in the last two decades that I don't think we've fully grasped yet. Significantly, we are in a growth state and in probably a growth region, one of the fastest growing growth regions in Australia. That growth brings a lot of challenges, but it also allows for some options, some choices, some possibilities that you just don't get in a city that's not growing. So that's a real opportunity for us. Ageing as a population will be the next big wave of change, perhaps I should say tsunami. Again, I don't think people have fully grasped just how significant the ageing of this population is going to be and what it's going to mean for a change in the way we do our business. And finally, I just pose that last question. Will older people want to, or indeed be able to, live in the inner city of the future? One thing we know for sure is that the future will be different. There will be change. If we are to capitalise on this change, we need to grasp the opportunities and make this city a place we can all be proud of. As Inner Brisbane moves forward into a new era of development, let's plan for it to be the best yet for the people who live, work and visit here. Thank you.